Like, I have met so many different dogs doing this job. I adore them all. Like, they are all so different. Like, even with the training as well. Like, you learn how to train certain, like, breeds of dogs or, like, the way their brains work. Yeah, no, there's no particular breed. I just love them all.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week, I am so proud to release this episode with Paige of Buddy Pet. Now, Paige is part of the family. I absolutely adore Paige. She is fantastic, and I couldn't wait to sit down and chat with Paige, along with Megan, about dogs. So this is a big conversation about dogs, dog training, reinforcement, raising a puppy, all those kinds of things, because Paige has gone through that, and she is actually qualified as well, so knows a lot more about it than someone like myself. Now, even if you're not in the Southampton area, you can still follow Buddy Pet on social media, and please do, because they post an incredible amount of really adorable photos and videos, including some of our dog Willow, so keep an eye out for her. Paige, Megan and I speak about a variety of things in this conversation. I've included links to Animal Balance, Woofies, Zoomies and Groomies, and the Dog Training College as well. But as of recording this, Buddy Pet are actually the finalists in the Animal Star Awards 2024. So that's incredible as well. I hope they win. They certainly deserve it, but I'm so glad that they're getting a bit of a spotlight on them as well. And I've included a link to the Animal Star Awards in the description as well. But friends, I hope you enjoy this conversation. I won't waffle on here anymore. I really appreciate you listening and things. There's not going to be a video version of this conversation, so it is just audio only, but it's still absolutely delightful, and I'll be back at the end of the conversation to give you some information on what's to come on Genuine Chit Chat and a few other bits and pieces. So without further ado, here is Paige of Buddy Pet. Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people, and I'm your host, Mike Burton. We are here for another episode of Genuine Chit Chat, and joining me is Paige. Now, Paige is one half of Buddy Pet. She's my cousin's wife, and she's an awesome person as well, which does help you get on the show, to be honest with you. But Paige,
I'm also your cousin.
I said cousin's wife, so I don't know. Is it second cousin? Is that how it works when you're married?
No,
just cousin's wife.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand the whole cousin thing, because then you can't get cousins-in-law, apparently. If you marry someone, their cousins don't become your cousins-in-law.
Well, let's break that.
Yeah. Right now.
Cousin-in-law. I always say my cousin-in-law.
There we go. That's what Paige is to us. But I mean, you've been with Charlotte for ages, haven't you? So
yeah, 9 years.
There we go. Yeah, I was going to say it's basically a decade.
Too long. Yeah.
Too long ago. You know Charlotte, you know me, and it's just a lot to deal with.
But
you are very much into dogs, but you also have a business, Buddy Pet, which we mentioned, and anyone who follows me on social media may see me occasionally mention them.
Thank you.
But multifaceted is what Buddy Pet is, not just a dog walking service. There's a lot more to it.
That's very kind of you.
It is, and it's true as well. Obviously, we use your services for Willow as well, and she loves you both dearly. So let's kick it off with, you know, I think when you met Charlotte, that's what kicked off your dog related career.
Yeah.
So when you first met Charlotte, did you immediately know you wanted to be a dog walker? Because was Charlotte doing it before she met you?
She was, yeah. Yeah, she had the business for about a year before we met. And I was working in sort of a dead end office job. And she sort of said to me, I've been looking to employ someone for the last few months. And I was like, what about me? And there we go.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. And so with that, like, how have you evolved in Buddy Pet? Because obviously it started off kind of just dog walking and things, but you yourself have taken a lot of initiative to try and improve your skills, not just in dog walking, but also in dog behavior. So I wonder if you could tell us, why did you do that? And then where that kind of journey was.
Right. How long have we got? So dog training, it sort of came to me when watching one of these dog training TV shows. And I thought, I don't actually know why a lot of my dogs behave the way that they behave. And I took on a reactive dog for solo walks, and his owner was like coming to me for advice a lot of the time. And I'm not ashamed to say that at the time I didn't actually know what to suggest. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, why? Why haven't I explored this before? So yeah, I was just watching the TV one day, as you do, and there's a dog training program on there that lots of people tell me, oh, I've watched this dog training program and I've found out this about my dog, and you know, everyone will know what I'm talking about. And basically I just looked up the dog training college and I looked into their courses and I contacted them and I thought, yeah, this is for me. It's a full dog training package. It was about behavior, reactivity, separation anxiety, like all of the sort of normal things that people want advice for when they're coming to me for dog training. And I really enjoyed the course. It was an online course that lasted 6 months. I did Zooms with my classmates. like virtual classmates, asked questions with like certified dog trainers, which was really helpful. And at the end of each week, I had to submit a task, whether it be a poster explaining how I understood something, or a task of me doing a particular training, like, I can't think
module,
of the word.
Yeah.
Like getting the dog to stay and wait, that sort of thing. I had to video all of that and it got marked, which was really handy. I then went on to a nutrition seminar at Warwick University last year through the Dog Training College, met loads of people that had been on my course, and it was really, really nice to see people in real life and talk to them about the dogs that we'd met along the process of learning and how we were doing now.
Amazing stuff. And what was there anything like that you learned that was unexpected, that something that surprised you to learn in your journey?
Yeah, that actually I didn't really understand dogs that well. And again, I'm not ashamed to say, like, there are loads of little things in their behaviour, like children, like where they get really tired and they'll start like overreacting and becoming naughty, you know, inverted commas.
That's a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
The people don't that.
Like, especially with puppies.
With Willow, when we had her, you know, people sometimes when she's a bit too frantic and stuff, we're like, okay, she needs to go in her bed. And people are like, oh, but she's got so much energy. It's like, no, she's overtired.
She's gone the other way.
Yeah, it's like she is, and I always use that example, she's like a toddler.
Yeah.
Right now she's more tired than you ever see her.
Yeah.
But she looks like she's got infinite energy.
Yeah.
We'll pop her on her crate, you know, door open, don't close her in, just say, got on your bed. She goes over there, she lays down, she might even whinge a little bit, and then she's zonked. It happened the other day, didn't it?
It happened yesterday when it was Mother's Day.
Full on asleep. But so that's an interesting one.
Yeah. They need their time out. Just lots of things about reactivity and why dogs become reactive, like outside of the house, why they're reactive inside, like childhood trauma, if you want, like puppyhood trauma.
Yeah,
Archie, the reactivity dog that I worked with, I used him as a case study while I was learning my customer that made me think, I want to do this.
Okay, well, so Archie started off the whole reactivity sort of intrigue in certain ways.
Yeah.
So Archie took you down that road and then he was being used as a case study and then...
Yeah.
What you used him and that helped you kind of fully understand because you kind of saw his own progression as well.
Yeah. So he was in the Dogs Trust for a long period of time. So he's 8 now. And he's been with his owner for the last 3 years. So there's a huge chunk of his life that none of us really know about. Because when he was taken to Dogs Trust, there was no information taken over. He was like, aged by his dental records.
Oh, wow.
And we don't really know what happened to him before. So it was really hard but interesting for me to use my new knowledge, knowing that I've walked this dog for 6 months already, and then going into him with a different mindset, speaking to his owner about his routine, his diet, loads of other tiny, tiny, inverted commas, like things that you wouldn't necessarily think altogether would link to reactivity. So reactivity is like my thing. That's my favourite thing, I think. If I'm allowed favourites.
Well, also, you know, linking with that, you know, you and Charlotte you've got a few animals.
Yeah.
If you focus just on the dogs for the moment, so you've obviously got Harry and you have Brewer.
Yes.
Both are lovely dogs.
Thank you.
Harry, aside from Willow, is my favourite dog in the world. You know that. I love Harry. Every time I come into your house, I say hello to Harry first. He's my boy. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about Harry's condition.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about Brewer a little bit as well. And then just kind of how dealing with them has been different over the little while.
Okay. So Harry has a degenerative spinal condition. Mm-hmm. I can never remember the words because there's a couple together.
Yeah. That's fine.
He actually got diagnosed when he was 6 and he's coming up to 11 in May.
Yeah.
So what happened on the day that he got diagnosed was we thought he was having like an epileptic fit.
Mm.
So he was still, but his body was convulsing and his head was turning round and round in circular motion. So we took him to the vets. They thought he'd been poisoned, which was very scary because he's been on a walk with us that day. And he ended up spending the night in our local vets, and then he went to a specialist where they did a CT scan and x-ray and found out that he had this degenerative spinal condition. And he's got cysts pushing on his spine, which pushes on his back legs and makes him really wobbly, basically. And there was one point when he couldn't even lift his body. He was dragging his back legs and using his front legs. So we were contemplating having to get him like a sack that would stop him, grazing all of his knees. We got him a wheelchair where he could lift his legs up and not have to use them. We got a push chair, which we still use now, so he can be pushed around and see all of his friends and, you know, go out to the cafe and whatever.
You can still walk in like small doses. You just can't go like a super long walk.
No. So we employed a, we call him his massage lady. this lovely lady called Aithwin, who runs a company called Animal Balance. And she primarily works with horses and dogs. And she was actually recommended to us by one of my customers. And we basically owe Harry's life to her, or our life to her, whichever way it works, I can't remember. because she's made him walk and she's made him strong and she's made him the boy he is now. So he's aging and he's going through this like mad condition.
But he's actually getting better.
It seems like he's almost getting younger because his condition's getting better, even though he's becoming greyer in the face.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's defying all the odds of his condition. Like, the vets are like, what's going on?
And also, he's a Frenchie, which obviously doesn't often bode well anyway. And no. he was a rescue, wasn't he? Charlotte got him as a rescue. So he's a rescue Frenchie with a degenerative spine disorder.
This is it.
And he's go for it.
He is. Yeah. He's going mad. So, yeah, having Brewer, like, we got Brewer. So he's a cockapoo. We got him as a puppy I think it was just over 9 weeks when we got him in September. And Harry, to start with, was like, who is this lodger? where is his suitcase? what's going on? Because he was sort of cooped up inside for like 4 weeks with his vaccinations. So that was quite tricky to manage. But then once we got him out into like family's gardens and out on walks, Harry was like, oh my God, I have a playmate. Okay. And like to watch them like this morning, just tugging this big ball around the living room, you know, Brewer's nearly 9 months now. It's just so nice to see Harry stand up and have the strength to just tug and play with this little puppy. And it's just, it makes you a bit emotional sometimes to think, you know, when he was 6 years old, if he belonged to somebody else, they might well have said, that's enough for me, I can't do it anymore. And he's gonna be 11.
Yeah, which, you know, for certain dogs that's old anyway.
Yeah,
but I remember like when he was over here, I think last year when we had the barbecue, and like, I had Willow's snake toy out.
Yeah,
and like he was going for it. He was and obviously, you know, Frenchies can be quite stocky and strong jawed as well. So he was like fully like going for it, and then Willow was also trying to get involved, and I ended up having to have two snakes. I wonder if I can give the snake to both of them, and they both tug it. Nope, no. They would only tug it when I'm also sat in my own barbecue, like crouching on the floor holding a snake in each arm.
Yeah, that's what dogs. Happens now.
Yeah, it's good.
We're
fun.
In the dog's life.
Okay, so obviously that was Harry's story. And then so Brewer, obviously you had Brewer since you've done a lot of these qualifications and things. So how has it been training your own dog from scratch? Because obviously when you've been dealing with other people's dogs, normally there's like bad habits you have to kind of get rid of, whether it's because of the owner or because of the trauma of the dog prior.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you can try as best you can, but you're not there all the time. Yeah. Whereas obviously with a puppy, as we found with Willow, it's amazing because you get so much more control over their behavior, but also you have to really be on it because if you're only on it half the time, that means 50% of the time they're not getting what they need.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your experience raising a puppy, especially with all this stuff you know now.
Yeah. So again, I'll hold my hands up and say I'm not ashamed to say that I did sort of forget that he was a puppy at times and I just thought he would be doing what Harry was doing. Yeah. You know, so
why is my puppy the witching hour? Why is it at 6 p.m. my dog goes absolutely insane and I cannot calm them down?
I used to hate that hour.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
I think Brewer's was like 10, 11 o'clock at night as well. And then he'd get me up at half six, which hasn't finished. He still gets me up that every time, like every day at 6:30. Yeah. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm saving money on alarm clock batteries. But yeah, it was tricky. Of course it was tricky. I haven't also worked with anybody that has got a puppy and had a secondary dog, especially a dog with disabilities.
Yeah.
So something that I had considered before I got Brewer, and I think I remember talking to you guys about it, was the fact that with Harry's condition, he is incontinent sometimes and he will wee and he won't realise it. So we had this problem of, oh dear, Brewer is picking up on Harry's scent and he is peeing everywhere, you know, and it was like, how the hell do we stop him doing this and teach him to go outside? Because you take him outside and he'd go with a clicker or with a word, but as soon as he come back in, if he smelt something, he'd go, and that's just nature. It's really difficult.
Well, it's like when Willow came to yours that time, she weed by the front door and we were really surprised by it, but then obviously then we realized it was like, that makes sense.
The way I'd almost describe it is like if you go to like a music festival and you've got loads of dudes urinating against a wall, I will be like, okay, well, that's where I guess that's where I'm peeing now. Whereas if I was just by myself, I would never pee against a wall. But in festival, if I'm watching loads of dudes do it, I'm like, I guess that's the pee spot.
I wish I had that privilege.
That's true male privilege.
Don't talk about that. So we had the same happen with Charlotte's parents' dog coming over. He weed on our rug in our lounge and they were horrified. Hmm. But like, we've had this rug like washed at the laundrette. We've had the carpets cleaned with like, a Vax carpet cleaner. Hmm. Other brands are available. we've done everything we can with like the carpet scrubby things and everything, but in the end we just had to rip the carpet up, so we've now got laminate flooring because it doesn't smell. That's gone, and now everything's hunky-dory.
Harry doesn't go as much. Like in our house, like we've not got any carpet down, we've got the rug in the middle.
I mean, that wasn't intention, it was just the way that it came with the house.
But then when we
did work, then especially
it's better,
especially when she goes up to the toilet in the winter. We're like, oh my god, I'm so happy that we don't have carpet downstairs.
Because we have to dab her paws or the towel or whatever, but then we don't have to worry about her bringing something in. So she's got the nice little rug. She does the whole rubs her face and the whole body into it.
I love that.
Does that a lot. Because the peeing thing is interesting. Because when you guys told us about that, I was like, oh, of course. But we didn't even think about Harry's incontinence compared to like raising a puppy. Because we spoke about like Megan. Well, of course, Megan has a lot of love to give, and she would love to have another dog because Megan would have all the dogs. Don't you stop. But I've said, we're going to be trying for kids soon, and adding a puppy to that is going to be too much.
My other thing with that is that we have lucked out with Willow. She is a very, very kind dog. Just her general...
Her temperament
is so kind and loving. But on the flip side to that, it's not just Willow. We put a lot of effort in at the beginning.
Absolutely.
My other thing is that I'm part of quite a few cockapoo pages on Facebook, and they're like, the dog that made me get another dog. And it's like, and the other dog is an absolute demon. So I'm like, at the moment, Willow is just perfect. There are obviously a couple of things that could change, like the barking when people walk past that we're working on, but like, that's minor in the grander scheme.
Yeah.
But like,
there's always something.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of us have this like unrealistic idea of our dogs are going to be perfect. You know, they're not. And this is something that I've come across with my training, is depending on a dog's like previous life experience to how they are today, they might not ever want to walk up the road again, or they might not ever want to get in the car with you again, or we can't hold these things against them. We have to go with how they are feeling, because the only way they can tell us how they're feeling is by their body language and their vocalization, and it's important to like tune into that. And I like helping people understand that.
It's weird with dogs, isn't it, because I think one of the follies that some people have in general terms of dog training is that either people under personify their dogs or over personify their dogs.
It's called anthropomorphizing.
There we go. making it seem like a dog is a person. And there are a lot of traits that dogs have that, obviously, because of the way they've been domesticated over the numerous generations, there's a lot of human-esque behaviours that a lot of dogs have.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I think there's certain people who don't see dogs as emotionally intelligent beings and all this stuff, which is a big problem.
Yeah.
But then you get other people who expect too much from their dogs.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, I've tried to explain it to people loosely off things that you've told us and then from some of the puppy research that we've done, which is like, which we'll get onto, because negative and positive reinforcement is with negative reinforcement, because I mean, negative reinforcement isn't ideal in the human speaking world either, but there is, it can be beneficial, because sometimes you have to punish a child, but you explain to them, if you ground a child for doing something, you can use language to explain the reason that you're being punished for this is because of that. Think about how you're affecting others. There's language is the great explainer. With a dog, they can understand odd words, but you can't give a dog a theology lesson in morality to explain why they shouldn't take the other dog's food. It's not.
You could try.
Well, and from what I understand is that, negative reinforcement, it doesn't teach them the lesson you want. It just, it's like a hyper focus.
They're just like, to do that one thing.
If they poop in the middle of your floor and then you tell them off really bad for it, then they just go, okay, well, when you're around, I shouldn't poop in this exact one spot.
I'm just going to go do it behind the sofa where you haven't seen me do it.
Yeah. Exactly. So I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. Is there ever a time for negative reinforcement from your perspective? Like, what is the... There's a bit of stigma around all that stuff, and I wonder if you could just clear up from your perspective what you've learned about positive and negative reinforcement.
So, you're right about, punishing the dog and, hitting. I'm not for that whatsoever. Shouting doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
Because if you're shouting, for example, at a dog that's barking loads, the shouting's just going to escalate that, and then you're just fighting a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
Positive reinforcement is obviously loads better. Yep. And that's the way that I was taught. And that's the way I've trained my dogs and my personal dogs and my family dogs have been trained growing up. And I think it works really well. Because if I was to do something good, I'd want you to reward me. If I was going to do something bad, I wouldn't want you to punish me. Mm-hmm. I'd want you to go, right, I'm making it obvious that I don't want you to do that again by not rewarding you, mm-hmm. you know? So there are differences, but no, I'm definitely not for negative reinforcement.
Yeah, I remember when we got Willow, whenever she'd go for a wee or a poo, yeah. I would make the biggest deal out of it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh my God! Yeah.
Puppy party.
You're amazing! And it got to the point that one of our neighbours was like, I heard you congratulating Willow on going for a poo the other day. And I was like, yeah!
You have to though. Yeah, we clap. We clap. Yeah, same, so did we. Good. Yeah.
We would applaud and then get pets and then a little treat. And it was just that thing where she was like, I'm so excited to go to the toilet. I want to go outside. And you know.
Yeah.
And then she goes inside. It's like, okay, well, you just need to move over here for a moment. We're not going to give you the attention. I now need to spray this horrible spraying thing on the floor that you're not going to like to get it out of the
rubber. She didn't have that many accidents.
No, we were quite lucky with that. You know.
Yeah.
But I agree with you completely. You know, it's positive reinforcement. It's also the relationship you want with your dog.
Absolutely.
You know, you want your dog to love you, you know, as much as they can and trust you.
Yeah,
and I think that, at least from what I've seen with negative reinforcement, it creates a barrier because then your dog might be scared of you or worried. And like when you create a punishment which is negative, which is almost always creates a fear response, if your dog stops fearing you, then they won't listen to you anymore.
Yeah.
But B, you also have a member of your family that then fears you, which is correct. Why would you want anyone to fear you?
It's really unpleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it's one of those. So positive reinforcement is the best thing.
Definitely.
So you mentioned a minute ago about with your family, with dogs and things. So I wonder if you could tell us about your early life of dogs, maybe your first experience, just a bit about you sort of before Charlotte, before you came into my life, really. You know, BM before my life.
What world was that? So basically, I grew up with a Springer Spaniel called Jackson, who was black and white. Beautiful boy. He passed away when I was about 5. Mm. Then I got Murphy. I believe you call it a liver and white Springer Spaniel.
Okay.
It's not brown and white, apparently. It's liver and white. he lived until I was 16. And then my parents got a beautiful cockapoo called Bo. Aww. He was a lovely girl. She was chocolate colour. And she was with us from when I was 17, and she only passed away in November. So I remember, she would have been 11 in January. So I had her when I lived in Paris with my parents, and then I moved away. So I missed her dearly. And my auntie, who I spent a lot of time with, she's always had German Shepherds. And then since she moved to Portugal like 10 years ago, no, 15 years ago, she's been picking up all the waifs and strays out there. she's basically got a little shelter. So yeah, we're a bit dog mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny with dogs, isn't it? Because, you know, I never grew up with dogs, but because, you know, family members of mine got dogs and things like that, then I got more, like, I think my dad was scared of dogs, which I think then rubbed off on me for a bit.
Yeah.
But then when I met a lot of my friends' dogs, I was like, these dogs are lovely. They're so nice.
Yeah.
You know, I think people can have that odd perception, because obviously with Megan, like, you never had
dogs,
and you've never had any pets.
I've never
growing
had
up.
A dog.
No. You never, because I had cats and rabbits growing up, but you didn't even have that.
I didn't have any pets growing up. I had a fish when I was like 14
as little of a pet 15. As you can get, really, isn't it?
I didn't have any pets. My cousins had a dog, which is also a cockapoo, which is the reason that I wanted to get a cockapoo, because I love Dougie so much.
Yeah, he's a lovely
he
boy.
Is a good boy. I've always loved dogs. Anytime so I've loved dogs so much that my friend saved my name in his phone as Lenny, referring to Of Mice and Men. So, because I love dogs so much.
Yeah.
Getting Willow was the happiest day of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By far.
I remember the day you told me when I was helping you move out of your flat, and I was oh my God,
you're going to get a baby. House. We're getting a house and we get a dog.
Yeah.
I remember the day that Mike, when it was, we were here at this point, we were in the house, and there was a day where I was like, can we have a look at dogs? And Mike was like, yeah, okay then. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, are you joking? And he was like, no, we can look. And I was like, oh my God, yes.
This is the same with me and Charlotte. Like, I had gone on and on and on, because we used to have two cats and Harry. So we had Binks, Milo, and Harry the dog. And when Binks passed away 2 years ago, I think, 2 years ago, I was like, I've got a sort of paw print shaped hole left in my heart. And like, what do I do? We live on a main road. We want to get a rescue cat. They won't listen to us. They won't have us. They won't give us a rescue cat. Is it sensible to get another cat living where we do? No. So then I was like, can we get a dog? Can we get a dog? No, no, no. And then one day we were sat on the sofa together and I said, can we just have a look at cockapoo puppies? And she went, oh, go on then. I was like, yes! And the rest is history.
And so do you have like any preferred breeds? I mean, obviously you've got Harry the Frenchie and Bruno the Cocker, but like, do you have any favorites that were like, if you could just magically not have a job and you could only spend time doing dogs, is there like a certain dog breed you like more? Obviously you grew up with different ones. Like, do you have any preferred dog breeds? So you don't have to say the one.
I really don't. No. Like, I have met so many different dogs doing this job. I adore them all. Like, they are all so different. Like, even with the training as well, like, you learn how to train certain like breeds of dogs or like the way their brains work. There's no particular breed. I just love them all.
And do you find like this may be more anecdotal, but have you found that certain dog breeds do have more of a disposition towards certain behavior types, or do you think it's like are there any because I've heard, like, for example, I think certain dogs, I think beagles and cockapoos, are more likely to develop separation anxiety, for example, but I didn't know if that's true or not. Or if
also, whenever we said that we were getting a cockapoo, people were like, that's a crazy breed.
Yeah. We had that too.
So is there, as much as you can tell us, because obviously, you know, you're not a dog breeding expert, you're a dog behavioural expert more so. So I wonder if you could tell us, just, is there anything to that or of the dog breeds and personality types and things?
So I've only actually worked on one separation anxiety case, and it was a cockapoo.
Okay.
Lovely boy. Mm. And yeah, that just happened to be, that's because that he was a cockapoo. I have walked beagles in the past and they have all been food obsessed.
I've heard that they've got, it's because their sense of smell as well. Yeah. I've heard that they love food.
Yeah. They're hounds, so they just love smelling. This is a misconception that people have with like the miniature dash hounds. Like, they are hounds, so they are going to want to smell everything, and they are super intelligent. And I think that can be quite misleading for people that just want like a little lap dog type thing.
Because sausage dogs look
they're
so
really
silly,
popular
don't they?
At the moment. They're bloody everywhere.
They are.
Like, they're really cute, but they are everywhere.
But I think it's because they're small and non-threatening. Because no one's really scared of a sausage dog, you know, calling them the slang term. But like, you know, when you see one, you're not, if one runs towards you,
you're like, oh, look at it.
It's a leg. You know, that's your dad's favourite type of dog.
It is my dad's favourite breed.
So I wonder if that's part of it. It's almost like, you know, because I love big dogs. Like, you know, St. Bernard. Love a St. Bernard.
Yeah.
I adore those dogs. But like, you know, if a St. Bernard is, you know, not raised properly, or even if it is and it just runs at you, you're just thinking, this dog weighs more than I do. So if it jumps on me, it'll take me down. If Willow does, you're never worried that Willow's going to take
you
down.
You're not even going to get a scratch, are you? She just bounces off me.
She weighs 11 kilos.
Oh, my baby. That's so little.
So do you find like big dogs and small dogs, like, I assume there is a difference in how one would go about training one, or is it again
just
case by breed. Case
yeah, it's just case by case breeds. What I was referring to is like terriers are very barky, usually not all of them, obviously. I'm not discriminating any dogs, but a lot of people get like confused with a Staffy, like they are a terrier, Staffordshire Bull Terrier. They are a bull breed and a terrier breed, so they are really similar to like a Jack Russell, and you wouldn't really think that. They're bigger, they look more powerful, they are bigger, you know, but actually they're very similar to like your common Jack Russell, and their behavior ways and learning. Yeah, I love it.
I love Staffies.
I love Staffies.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I went to school with people who I was really good friends with, and they had two Staffies and a Jack Russell.
Yeah.
Those were the
I love Staffies. I love all of them. So yeah, I just couldn't, yeah.
To be fair, my favorite dog just to look at is probably a Cavalier King Charles.
Oh,
their little faces,
my God,
make me want to cry.
Yeah.
But when it comes to like a cuddle dog, you know, a St. Bernard, just something like that, just a big floofy boy.
Like a Chow Chow.
You like Chow Chow. You like the fluffy ones. You've got like Pomeranians or things.
Pomeranians, less so. I'm the same as you in that I like all dogs.
Yeah.
So, but there are some dogs that I'm like, oh, so cute.
Yeah.
Chow Chow. I just love their fur.
I don't think Cavaliers like age. I walk one, Murphy, who I absolutely adore, and his little face like just hasn't aged the last like 2.5 years that I've known him. He just looks like a baby. I think he's 6 now. I'm like, you look about 6 months, yeah.
Yeah, I think, to be fair with Willow, I think her size, until she starts going grey, she kind of looks like a puppy as well.
Yeah, she does.
A lot of people assume that she is a puppy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that she was going to be a lot bigger than she is, because they were like, look at her paws. claws.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's all fluff.
It's just fluff. Yeah. Tarantula feet.
Yeah.
So it was like us two with that big furry curly hair in it. It's like Willow's got that too. Well,
yeah, she's got it from you guys. Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I wondered if you know much about how dog walking, but also behaviour in a sense, has changed over the years, developed. You know, obviously, we're all similar age. We haven't been alive since the 60s, so we can't say from first-hand experience. No. But from what you've learned in your courses, did they talk a little bit about what, you know, they used to believe the dog behaviour was like, how it's changed, or even just from your own perception in the world, has it changed over the years?
I think we've all got a lot more in touch with our dogs, if that makes sense. Like, I had a dog walker when I was growing up, a lady who still does it now, so she must have been going like 20 years, and back then it was like, oh, you've got a dog walker, but a lot of people just would leave their dogs at home all day. They'd go to work and they'd like wait for their dogs to be there when they got in. And I think now it's like, oh, you have to have a dog walker to like go out and leave your dogs all day.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy that's the case.
It's good for your business.
But yeah, I love it. And I think we're all just more aware that our dogs like have feelings too, if that makes sense.
They're emotional. They're emotional.
Yeah.
Anyone who thinks animals don't have feelings is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, insects, I think they actually don't for the most part. But insects are not the same as animals.
You'll have to check with the old David Attenborough.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can get some very affectionate spiders, tarantulas mainly. But
I wouldn't want to meet those.
I've stroked tarantulas before. I like them. I like all animals. They're great. But no, mammals is like, mammals do have emotional intelligence.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
They do. You know, cats do as well.
Yeah,
know? Cats. I mean, because obviously you have Milo and you have Binks and things.
Yeah.
So with like, I don't know, I'm going all over the place, but also like with cats as well. Like, is there, with your experience of being like a dog walker? I know Buddy Pet isn't exclusively dogs, but like, with your relationship with cats, how has that changed over the last few years? Like, you said you had dogs growing up. Did you ever have cats?
No.
So cats was, that's interesting because I find a lot of people grow up with cats and then get a dog, not the inverse.
Yeah, my mum's allergic.
Ah.
Yeah, well, she told me she was, but she's never had a problem since Milo's been in the house.
Is that why you've got like, cats to keep your mum out?
Yeah, yeah.
Get a cat in, get mum out.
I never had cats. I always wanted a cat. So when I met Charlotte, we'd only been together a very short period of time, and she had Binks and Harry already.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I'd really like a kitten. So she was like, we can have one if it's grey. I was like, okay. And she went, and we'll call him Milo. So I went to go and pick him up, and he was like teeny tiny little baby. Yeah. So yeah, I just always wanted a cat. And he's just so different. He's really dog-like, and I don't know why. Because like, even Charlotte said that she's had cats like growing up her whole life. She lived on basically like a little, not a farm by any means. She was in a house in Charles Ford, Fair Oak. But she had like lots of different animals, and she was like, I've never met a cat like Milo. He's just really affectionate and like tunes in with you and knows when you're in, knows when you're out. And yeah, he's just a vibe. He's a vibe. Yeah.
Do you find that people, like, do people have to get behaviourists for cats? Like, I assume they exist.
Do you know what? Yeah, I think they do exist.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't know anything about it.
No, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Cats are just a weird one, aren't they? Because, like, they're so much harder to
read
and train.
Because they didn't domesticate themselves in the same way dogs did. Dogs like actively chose, whereas we were kind of like, oh, these animals kill loads of pests, let's bring them in.
And
cats really, like, I always say this, but like, tigers are the ultimate killing machine on land. They can kill anything, you know? They are the absolute top of the food chain. So what we did is we basically got, and it's not that quite that simple, we basically got a tiger, made it mini, so the only thing it can kill is rodents and birds.
We shrunk it,
and it's like, and have changed not that much about its behaviour. Like,
when you
compare like wolves to dogs, and you can see some very clear things that are the same, but also you can see some very clear things that are different, obviously depending on breeds, etc. With cats, like, for the majority of the cat or the feline kingdom, there's certain cats that are slightly less or more aggressive. There's certain cats that are more ambush predators and others.
Yeah.
And you get like lions that are one of the only felines that specifically thrive in a group, whereas most other felines prefer to be solitary.
Yeah.
But realistically, a lot of them act all the same. It's just that because cats can't kill us, they're like, well, I guess we have to be here for the ride.
Yeah.
But it's weird. I think it's because, you know, there's the worry about dogs because certain dogs, you know, normally bigger than Willow and things, can do, I mean, I suppose Willow could do harm, but like, bigger dogs can actually really do harm to people, and especially children. And I wonder if people don't focus on cat behavior as much because there isn't the same level as threat. I don't know.
I don't know.
No.
Maybe they're just too cute and they're like, oh, I'll just let them get away with it.
I think when cats... Well,
it's also they just roam free. That's depending on the situation.
Cats are strange. Yep. That's my headline.
Yeah.
Like, when you actually wrap your head around the fact that, like, this little fluff ball lives in my house, has his own door that he can come in and out of when he pleases, he gets fed when he meows at me, comes to sleep on my bed, like, meows at me for other things, I'm like... God, like, you should be paying me rent or something. Like, what well,
that's
are you
what they
doing?
Bring you dead animals. It's like, yeah. Here's my rent.
Yeah, luckily Milo doesn't do that very often. Mm. And when he does, I just have to, like, hold whatever it is in my hand and say sorry and have a little funeral for it. I'm like, God, what am I doing? Like, you know.
I think that's the thing that I couldn't deal with. I couldn't
As we get older, you just kind of realise that so much of what one has to do is there's all these weird little jobs you have to do. And one of them... is training dogs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you just, when you grow up with pets, the parents normally take care of most of the stuff. The kids just play, and then the parents do everything else. And then when you're an adult, you're like, I'm going to get a dog. And then you're like, oh, there's a lot to this.
Yeah.
Wait, like, when we first got Willow, like...
We did loads of research to clarify.
I know you did a ton of research,
but, like, I knew it was going to be hard.
Yeah.
I did not realise how hard it was going to be. Yeah. It was intense.
Especially to do it right as well.
We did it in the school summer holidays.
You were so lucky to have that time off with her.
Well, we planned it deliberately for this. So I broke up on like the 21st of July and we picked her up on the 23rd, so my summer holidays was Willow.
Best summer holidays ever.
But like, it was stuff like, because we didn't use puppy pads, we went straight into the garden, like we were waking up every 2 hours in the night to let her out for the loo. That's why we didn't have that many accidents, really. I'd say probably like 10 maximum in the house, including both wheeze and poos.
I would say that of her entire life, to be honest. Yeah, and even that includes times she's had a bad tummy, which was her fault.
She diarrheaed all over the rug.
A nice yellow rug, which we had to get a replacement for. Which obviously is not her fault.
But like, I didn't realise how tough it was going to be, especially like witching hour.
Yes.
It was when it was 7 p.m. every single night and she turned into this absolute demon. And I was like,
ages.
I was just like, I don't understand why this is happening. Anything that we say to her doesn't calm her down. In fact, it just aggravates her more.
If you ignore her, it also aggravates her more. So no matter what, she's just getting more and more riled up.
It's just like just cowering on the sofa because she wasn't big enough to jump up yet. It's just like, oh, get away from me.
With a little razor sharp baby teeth.
Yeah,
as well.
A little shark teeth.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's a slog. I didn't realise how difficult it would
be. We knew theoretically we understood what we'd have to do, get up every 2 hours in the middle of the night, all this kind of jazz to make sure.
I mean, that's dedication.
But again, it was easier because we didn't have any kids, and because we didn't have any kids, and also me and Megan are on different kind of schedules. She goes to bed earlier but wakes up earlier, I go to bed later, so it was the 4 a.m. slot that was the nightmare.
The 4 a.m. slot was the one that neither of us wanted,
because I could stay up till, you know, midnight-ish, go to sleep, wake up at 2, or just stay up till 2 and let her out and then go to sleep, and Megan could get up at 6 and take her out. But 4 o'clock is too late for me and too early for Megan. And 4 a.m. is the worst time in the whole day.
Especially, you know, when she didn't go. You'd have to like let her back in, then you'd have to chill out for a bit, then you'd have to try again, because otherwise she's going to have an accident. It's just like, just go to the toilet! Yeah. Just go!
And then you're awake, and she's like, oh, okay, we're awake now. Is it breakfast time?
And I'm like, ooh, back into the crate, and then she's crying, and I'm just like,
Or sometimes where, I mean, fortunately, she didn't cry that much after the first couple of days, but it was even just like, you know, the worst things for me was when I had to get out of bed and get up and let her out. And then I go downstairs and she's asleep and you look at her and she looks up at you like eyes barely open.
You
like, don't let me. It's like, I'm so comfy. It's like, come on. And you open the crate door and she looks at you and puts her head back down. It's like, no, come
and
then on.
She's like...
And she's like, at one point I remember she just wasn't listening to me. I had to physically pick her up and she was just, and I had to put her down and her little legs were just like, I just don't want to. Don't make me, daddy. And I was like, you have to come out and wee. I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. But let's just go out. So we can come back in. And she did go, because she's a good girl. But I wondered if you raising Brewer and things, has that, well, obviously you've done a lot of the dog behavioural stuff as well, but have you found that you raising Brewer has also helped you just with dogs in general for other parts of your career and
definitely.
Life?
Recall is something that I've never had experience with any of my childhood dogs, and Harry obviously could be recalled when I met him. So teaching Brewer recall was really good for me in terms of teaching it to other people because of his age. There's like a game that I play with customers called What's My Name Game, and then there's the Chase Me Recall game, which I won't go into detail about because if you are a customer of mine, you'll know what it is.
That's a trade secret, okay? Hire Buddy Pet and then you'll get to know.
I'll tell you. but basically, it was just like associating his name with a recall, both at the same time, because he was little. So the breeder was calling him his name for like the last few days, which was kind of handy, but he seemed to not know what his name was, which is okay.
The same thing happened to us, really.
So it was just a case of like whenever he went outside, brewer come, like clap 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 clap, and I just found that really interesting to learn what made him excited as a puppy.
It's one of those things I said to Megan. It was like, you know, I've always loved animals and dogs and things like that, but I was always just like the hassle. That was my big, I always was like, if I get with someone and they want a dog, I'll get a dog as well. But I didn't necessarily want one because of the hassle. But it's a weird thing because in puppy years, it is a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot to deal with for the first 6 months.
I miss her being
a
puppy, but I don't miss the puppy stage.
I do not even slightly miss her being a puppy.
I miss her being a puppy in the sense that, like, she was so tiny and so cute and, like...
She's tiny and cute now.
She is still tiny and cute.
She is.
But, like, I miss aspects, but I don't miss the puppy phase. I'm glad that we're out into adolescence now.
But I can get her straight back to the puppy phase. If I rile her up in the right way, then we will just get straight back to puppy play. Nuts.
Yes.
But
I'm definitely in that phase right now.
We're looking back at you going, hey, phase. Whereas we're past that. Because, you know, once they get to sort of a year and a half, that's when they kind of, year and a half to 2 years
is normally, simmer out a little
when
bit.
They finish their adolescence, they kind of transition into an adult and become regal.
Yeah, the dinosaur phase sort of fades about then,
Which you're right in the middle of.
I am in the middle of. Yeah,
you got an older boy who just wants to relax and chill out with dodgy back legs. And then you've got the young boy who only wants to sprint everywhere.
Yeah, he really does. Yeah, he just zooms all up and down the kitchen. And we've got rugs everywhere because of Harry's condition.
Yeah.
So Brewer will just zoom from the lounge to the kitchen. And because there's rugs, he'll just like scuff up all the rugs and then come back. And then he'll slide across the kitchen tiles and then across the laminate floor. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
So what have you found? Like with rescue dogs and puppies, because that's something that Megan and I, we really went back and forth on, you know, because we were thinking that within a few years of getting Willow, we were like, well, we were planning on having kids and things, and obviously rescue dogs can have triggers and stuff.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you had any sort of thoughts on whether if people should get puppies or rescue, or if there's criteria in your life, like if you've got any advice for people, if they're kind of stuck on which way to go, if you have any thoughts on where they should go, maybe why, or where they are in their life, if it kind of depends on situation.
Okay, so it's just case by case. Yep. So I actually really wanted a rescue dog. Mm. And I remember saying to a lot of my customers, I really want a rescue dog. I really want a rescue dog. And they were probably like, just bloody get one then. but the problem is with Harry's condition, I didn't want a bigger dog that could knock him over or make him feel uncomfortable or cause a reaction in him where he felt uncomfortable being in his own home. So for us, a puppy was really the only option.
Blank canvas.
Yeah, because we could train, and we've got Milo the cat as well. So we needed something that we could mold and like work with both of them.
Well, and also your job, because you want to have a dog that can go on dog walks.
This
with you,
is
especially.
It. Yeah, yeah. Because you could end up getting a rescue dog that, like you say, triggers might happen in the first few months of them being with you, and then you're like, okay, well, this wasn't on the paperwork, or this wasn't what it was advertised as. But it's really difficult for rescue centres and fosterers to tell you the whole personality of a dog when they're only in their care for a really short amount of time. Mm. So for us personally, a puppy was the way. Definitely in the future, like in a million years time when Harry isn't here, we'll get a rescue for sure, because Brewer loves other dogs like so much. A bit too much sometimes. But he gets so excited when he sees other dogs. So we'll definitely get a rescue.
Because we said what we'd like to do. We wouldn't, now that we're going to go down the road having kids over the next year or so, and hopefully Willow's going to live to the age of 20. And
absolutely.
Then that'll be great. And
30,
then,
40, 50.
100. I think the oldest dog in the world right now, I think it's nearly 30.
Yeah, the oldest dog in the world recently passed away. It lived in Portugal. I think it got to like
30 odd. Did you see that something got disproven though?
Oh, really?
There was something about the oldest dog, don't quote me on this, but there was something disproven about the oldest dog in the world where they'd realised that the photos submitted from the 1990s were in fact a completely different dog.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah, so I don't know if Portugal's ringing a bell. I don't know. You'll have to look that up. Well, yeah.
I'll look up on Friends. I'll put in the show notes about the oldest dog in the world.
Yeah.
And we'll find the link. We'll find the information about the oldest dog.
Good old Greg James, Radio 1 in the morning, keeps me going and he tells me all these facts and animal news.
Yeah, because we spoke about having a rescue and we thought...
I ideally wanted a rescue dog.
But we just thought, because we're raising kids, just in case, all it takes is one trigger that we weren't expecting around a kid. And our friends have got kids as well.
Yeah, we had a slight incident where one of our friend's dogs, who's lovely, she's an absolutely lovely dog, but Mike went out the room. He came back in and then the dog bared teeth and kind of went for Mike and that kind of
the owner grabbed the collar back.
But yeah, and since then she's not been a problem. Not a problem at all.
Yeah.
But like
just that one little
it was
trigger.
Just kind of like, oh, okay. Like they can just change. And I've met loads of rescue dogs that are lovely. Like
the problem is like with puppies as well, if you get a puppy from a breeder that you know, says all the right things on petsforhomes.co.uk or whatever else you go on. And then you get there and the dog's in bad condition or something. There could be anything that triggers that puppy, even from like being inside the mummy's tummy, like all the way until they're in a new home. It could be the environment, the food, like anything can trigger them in adult life. So it's so difficult to say.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's just, I suppose, with puppies, because they are that blank canvas, then you have, it's easier to kind of teach them not to, whatever their trigger may have been.
Yeah,
it's probably easier when they're young and more impressionable, and because they don't have as much trauma because they haven't lived as long. So it's that kind of idea that I think it's probably easier to get that behavior out of them. But
yeah,
we said, because what we'd ideally, what we want to
get an old boy that just needs a happy home.
We're not necessarily, we say old boy, we say old dog, boy, we call dogs boys. But like an older dog who's maybe eight or over, who just needs a home.
Yeah,
just
wants to live a happy life. Like a
lovely little few, that the last 5 or 10 years of their life.
Yeah.
Really easygoing, just doesn't have too much effort.
I think last 10 years of its life would be most of its life.
No, I know, but obviously when a dog's eight, it's kind of middle age, but also some dogs only live to 10, but some dogs live to 18.
The Jack Russell next door lived to like 16.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's what you want. You want a dog to live to 20, but realistically, it can really be any time between 10 and 20, really. That's the worst thing about this world is that dogs don't live longer. That's the biggest crime.
Yeah.
If there was a God, I don't necessarily believe, but if there is one, I'm just like, why would you not let dogs live longer?
I know. We know a dog walker called Claire of Woofies, Zoomies and Groomies. Best name ever. And one of her cockapoos, Pepper, she is 18 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She's 18 and she's beautiful.
Wow.
She's really cute. Yeah, I think Claire's got 4 cockapoos in total, but yeah, Pepper's the oldest, 18. Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I love
makes me
old
so
dogs.
Happy.
Yeah.
They're so lovely and they're just, it just makes me happy when they're just kind of that age where all they want to do is chill out.
Yeah.
But they've got that little slow, they've got a little bit of play still in them.
Yeah.
But they're just kind of slow. Harry's a bit like that.
Yeah, he's like,
Harry's such a demanding boy because I'll be like, oh, I'll give you scritches, I'll give you pets. And then I'll be like, okay, I'm done now, Harry. Yeah. I'm going to carry on talking. And then he'll like essentially punch my leg.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mate.
Unfortunately, that's where he loses his balance as well. So it's like a proper knockout punch, but it's like, I'm losing my balance. Yeah. Oh no.
He's like, oi.
I'm like, yeah, sorry. You know, like up to before his condition, he was, well, you know, you were really lucky to be accepted into his circle.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was really fussy with people. Mm. Like the fact that when we came for your barbecue last year and he was like going around, like not for food, he was just like, hello, everybody, I'm Harry, like scratching them all. I was like, oh my God, my baby, he's going to make friends, you know? Before he'd be like, don't touch me. Mm. Whereas Brewer's like, hi, my name's Brewer. Hello, everybody. I'm here. How are you?
My favourite thing is this. What do you like to do? Do you like to run around? I like to run around.
Yeah, that's him basically. I've worn myself out doing that impression.
Willow's like that, but Willow's not like that with dogs. She's more like, she loves
humans.
Human. Yeah. She's like, I want to lick your face. With other dogs, she's like, I'm a lady and you do not approach me unless you are spoken to.
She's very selective with who she likes.
It's mainly old dogs. Yeah. She loves
old dogs. She loves old dogs because they're not in your face.
That's it.
She likes chilled dogs. She's she gets on with
dogs like that. Yeah.
But she doesn't like big puppies because they've got like this bit more strength than she has.
Like golden retrievers, huskies, like big puppies that don't have any strength.
Yeah.
Can't.
Bouncy babies.
Yeah.
She doesn't like the bounce.
Yeah.
She wants her amount
of
bounce.
Lots of dogs don't. Lots of dogs don't.
Yeah.
And their way of telling them is just go, you know, bugger off.
Yeah. So I want to ask as well, like during, you know, COVID lockdowns and stuff, you know, it's going to be something in the history books that we tell the younger generations that we lived through. Do you remember that year and a half, depending where you are in the world, where the world stood still?
Yeah,
you
know? That was mad.
It was crazy. And, you know, so many, it affected everyone completely differently, you know, not to do a brush over it, the lockdowns, just the lockdowns themselves, not talking about wider COVID, the lockdowns themselves, you know, for some people really benefited from them, some people really suffered in them.
Yeah.
But it's weird to think about, like, dogs, because, you know, cats, I think, probably thrived in lockdown because there's less cars around, less people around, and they can just do what they want.
Yeah.
Whereas dogs obviously had a very different experience, because for a lot of dogs, obviously, some people got COVID puppies, which was a nice gesture in a lot of ways, but then once people started going back to work and stuff,
a lot of separation anxiety
and also, you know, people realising when they don't have infinite time, that dogs do take up you have to allot, you know, realistically, minimum an hour a day for dog walking and stuff, but also you've got to incorporate play and giving them actual attention.
Well, there was a lot more dogs that got put into, like, rescue post-COVID, so and then also it increased, like, cockapoos, like, tripled
in price.
Willow was an expensive girl. Worth every penny, but would have been nice if it was half the price like it was a year prior.
Would have been nice.
I wonder what your experience, because you've had first hand experience, because you know, I can't remember, during the lockdowns, were you able to work or not? So obviously that was an issue for your business anyway, but like, sort of when you could start working again, obviously, when was that from the, sort of the lockdowns, and how did your interactions with dogs change because of the whole COVID stuff? What did you see changed in them?
So if you want specifics,
we could be loose ideas. You have to give the date.
No, I will give the date because now you've jogged my memory. I think we shut on the 26th of March, 2020.
Yeah.
And that was like 3 or 4 days after we were all told to socially distance. And I remember walking up Mayfield Park around the corner from here on the day that we ended up closing. And I was just walking around with three dogs on the lead. And I'm not ashamed to say, I was in tears because I was like, I can't let these dogs off because I can't let people touch them. And I'm walking these dogs because their owners have to go to work. And it was really sad. And I was like, what am I going to do, like, when we have to close? And I just tried prolonging it and prolonging it and prolonging it. And the insurance company that we were with, once we actually went, got in, put into lockdown that evening when we had the whole really weird, you know, Boris on the telly, which is just, you can't even comprehend that now.
Yeah.
Like, when that happened, we were like, okay, this is real now. So we put a post on Facebook saying we'll be back in a couple of weeks. 62 days later, we opened. But if we were insured with literally a different insurance provider, we could have worked the whole lockdown.
Oh,
but
wow.
When we got put into lockdown, obviously we weren't able to change our insurance.
Yeah.
So we're now with Pet Business Insurance, who would have insured us at the time. So we learned.
Yeah.
We learned these things. We lost customers due to COVID, due to people coming back to work from home. But we gained customers in people getting puppies and getting dogs. So, yeah, it was a strange time, but it was exciting for us as a business because a lot of things changed. We never used to really, well, we did offer solo walks as an option before COVID, but they really took off after. So, yeah, my schedule now, I only do one group walk a day, which is 5 or 6 dogs in a group. And I do 8 or 9 solo walks.
Yeah,
around
you can,
it.
And you can give your attention, you know, to the specific dogs. And you've obviously got quite a few dogs at the moment, which have got... I've been loving the stories you've been posting on social media about one of the dogs.
Finn?
I think it is Finn. And I love seeing the updates. Every week or so, I get the updates. Like, Finn initially was really scared of me and wouldn't even go on walks with me. And now he's going on walks. And just this steady training that you've been doing. And this one-to-one, like, interaction with dogs. And where you've got all of your, you know, qualifications and things, which you're still adapting and growing, is you can just help so many dogs on a one-to-one basis.
It's really amazing. Enjoyable.
Yeah,
I love it. Like, when I first went into Finn's house, for example, on a Monday morning to fill out the paperwork with his mum, and he was just stood around the other side of the table going, you know, like, avoiding eye contact with me. And before that, he was rah, 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 like, for ages. And I was like, I'm just going to ignore him. He came under the table. He sniffed all up my legs. He sniffed my boots. I completely ignored him. As soon as I got up to leave, it was bark, bark, bark. And then it took I think I've had 6 visits with him now. And yeah, I was brushing him and his owners were like, how have you done that? Like, how are you brushing him? I'm like, I don't know. He just really likes me now. And that's that. Like, it's really funny because with dogs, you sort of have to pretend that you really don't like them for them to like you.
Yeah.
And then in the end, you're like, I love you, really.
Yeah, like, I always find it's again, my cousin's dog, Dougie.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, I'm like, my boy, Dougie. Yeah, he'll always go to my brother who completely ignores him.
Yeah.
And they like, it's just, they like the lack of attention, don't they? They're like, hey, you're not paying me attention. You're interesting.
Yeah.
I can get attention from these lot anytime I want. I've noticed Willow starts doing it. Whenever like my niece comes over and she's like trying to give all the attention to Willow, but her partner, he's like fairly neutral. And then Willow's like, I want to give you all the attention. Because I can get attention from her whenever I want. But just, I've only got a couple more things and we'll start to wrap up. But from the COVID, you spoke about the business perspective. Did you notice any difference in like, you don't have to name the dogs, obviously. I'd rather you didn't name the dogs.
Yeah.
But did you notice any dogs that their behaviour got worse or maybe better during COVID? Like any actual change? I know it was only 2 months, but obviously progression.
Yes. There were a couple of dogs that come to mind that they really suffered when their owners went back to work. And it was really sad to see. Like they became destructive indoors.
They don't understand,
being sick. Yeah, you know, making themselves sick out of stress. Yeah, it was really hard. That was hard to see.
Yeah.
And then there were dogs that people had got during lockdown that I loved listening to their stories of, like, they didn't have the time to get a dog before lockdown, then they got a dog. But then because of the restrictions of walking and going out and socialising and stuff, the dogs were really hampered. So I worked with them, like, before I even did the training on getting them socialised and coming out with me. And sometimes I'd pair dogs up together that I thought would look like, be really good together with permission of the owners. And yeah, it just sort of took off from there with like the solos and giving them more time, really.
Amazing stuff. Well, as we start to wrap up then, so the your journey from here, like obviously you've got some qualifications in dog behavior and nutrition and things like that. What where is there to go? Like what haven't you got special qualifications in? Can you get more improvements? Are there going to be like refresher courses? Like what do you perceive for the next few years of your own development? What do you, is there anything you want to do that you haven't been able to do yet? I'm just interested. This isn't a dog interview.
No.
I'm not being like, if you join this company, where are you going to go? I'm just really interested because what you've learned so far has been so much. It's been so interesting talking to you, just because obviously we know you and your family, of what you've learned about these things and seeing you implement it and on social media, getting to see some of those things. But like, obviously there's a lot you don't know because your journey's only been the last few years. So where do you want to go, really?
I definitely like to learn more. Like there's always like little bits of courses that come up. Like there's a course at the moment learning about how dogs deal with cancer that I want to like dive into. I just need to find some time. And more about nutrition. I might get a qualification in nutrition. I went to a seminar, which was really handy and really informative with some really good like pet doctors and vets. And there was the creator of Bella and Duke Raw Food. He was there. He was really interesting to listen to. But yeah, I'd like to dive a bit more into like the whole nutrition bit because it was more like a, well, it was a seminar. So I wrote notes, but I haven't got anything to sort of counts show. So yeah, I'd love to do a nutrition course.
That's something, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily personally delve down the road of doing a course because, you know, I don't have the career. And so it wouldn't be a necessary benefit in that minor regard. But I'm very interested because we've spoken about it before when we, you know, Willow went through the little fussy phase. We've changed the bits and pieces. It was after she got spayed.
She's now eating everything.
Yeah. Cool. But I think it's quite a common thing when dogs go through the, you know, the puberty and their adolescence. But also if you get them spayed, then obviously that's another hormonal change.
Yeah.
So it's understandable why her things changed. But we didn't necessarily want to go down this route. But we heard some people talk about, you know, the raw food diet. And then other people, I know, think generally it's accepted that grain is bad because everywhere says grain free. I think that's loosely,
it depends on the dog, it depends on allergies,
depends on the dog, it depends on allergies. So a lot of dogs prefer grain free diets because it's much more sensitive on their tummy. But a lot of dogs are like, I'll eat anything and I'll be fine.
It's just interesting with the raw food stuff because I know, especially because part of it's cost, and that's a thing that I think with nutrition, which is quite a big thing for us, where like, you know, we got a mortgage going up and lots of other things, and we were on a food program, which is great, but it was quite expensive. And
we were
only able to afford it because they did loads of deals. But we found an alternative. We I think because of you guys, you know, with Harry, there's like the Lily stuff. So we use Lily's and we tried it with Willow, and she's been really liking it. A lot of time we change food and then she'd get a bad tummy. And that's not ideal. It's like, we want to save money on food.
Even when we did a transition over, she would get a bad tummy.
But it's
a sensitive girl.
But it's also, you know, we want our dogs to be as healthy as possible and as happy and like their food, but also we can't break the bank giving dogs more expensive stuff that we eat, you know? Yeah. It's an interesting balancing act. So learning about dog nutrition. And I think I saw this article, which really, really aggravated me. And it was something like, why millennials are killing the pet food industry. And what it was is, when you look in the article, it's just that millennials are not buying stuff with loads of grain.
Yeah.
We're not buying stuff with loads of cheap meat in it.
Yeah.
We're basically just not buying food that's overtly bad for our animals, not just dogs, you know, cats and everything. It's like, oh yeah, isn't it weird that millennials, and you know, it's not just us, but isn't it weird that in the last decade or so, people are realizing, hey, why don't we not feed our dogs rubbish? Yeah. Why don't we not feed our cats just, you know, really terrible food? Why don't we actually take care of our animals?
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing.
We've just become, like, as I said, I think at the start of this conversation, like, we've all become so much more aware of how in tune our dogs are with, like, the planet and us and all of that. So I think feeding the foods, I won't name any brands in particular, that our parents would have probably fed our dogs when we were younger.
We can all think of some.
And now we're like, oh no, we won't be feeding that because that's rubbish.
Oh yeah.
You know? And now as an adult, you can look at it and go, and not even as an adult, but as an informed adult, you can go, oh, well, that totally makes sense why that's bad, because it's dyed.
Well, yeah, you know, horrendous big fatty
it's
food.
Coloured.
Rawhide as well, I think, some recent thing they said. Yeah. Rawhide's really bad for dogs. Yeah. Grain can be upset stomachs, but it's all the stuff in between the goalposts of rawhide and grain.
Yeah.
There's so much in the middle, so much misinformation. So just really, you know, things from true nutritionalists.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, it's like on the nutrition course, they were talking about the difference between complete and complementary food.
Okay.
Well, complementary food is what it says on the tin, pardon the pun. You know, it's a food that needs to be mixed with another food to be a complete food. So Lily's Kitchen, for example, is a complete food. So they won't, like Willow and Harry, don't need any other food to go with it for it to be a complete meal. But you wouldn't know that unless you'd looked into it.
Yeah.
Some fourth glade, the fourth glade wet food, that's complementary. So we had to buy fourth glade cold pressed complete food to mix it with. And it's like, okay, but I just wanted one food to feed my dog. Yeah. Why have I now got to buy another one? Like, without them actively properly telling me on the packaging or, it's a minefield out there.
It is a minefield. We've got people like you who can help guide us.
Yeah.
Help guide us and body pet and things. Was there anything else, you know, I'll put links in the description, but any sort of final things you want to say before we plug all your great stuff?
Thank you for having me.
No worries.
The dog training world is ever evolving. I don't profess to know everything about it. I never have done, never will. I thoroughly enjoy my job and I'm looking forward to meeting all new dogs in the future.
Amazing stuff. So, Buddy Pep, where do people find you? Anything you forget to mention, I'll put in the show notes anyway, but the floor is yours. Where can people find Buddy Pep, catch up what you're doing, all that jazz?
Okay, so we are on Facebook, Buddy Pep Dog Walker Southampton. We're on Instagram, BuddyPet_Pet_Care_Southampton Had to cover all bases.
They will be the description, friends. So.
Yeah, no, I'm going to spell them all out.
Do it anyway.
A TikTok is BuddyPet_Southampton, I believe. Website, www.buddypet.com. And I think that's it. I think I've covered them all.
You have.
Yeah.
You've done. And even if you're not looking to get, you know, a dog walk or even any pet sitting or even any behavioural help, follow on social media because you get to see, A, you'll occasionally see Willow pop
see Willow
up.
Yeah.
You get to see Harry, you get to see Brewer. And I just love opening up my social media feeds and getting to see you and Charlotte and the variety of dogs just having a great time. And just all the different dogs you get to see and all the dog smiles. I'm just, it always brightens up. Me and Megan occasionally
we're like, I'm a top fan.
We're like,
are you?
Facebook tells me that I'm a top fan.
So we're both top fans. Represent.
Yes,
but
please.
Megan and I will occasionally be like, oh, have you seen the dog on Buddy Pet today? Oh, no, I haven't. And we get to watch like a cute video and stuff. So thank you for that. People need to go follow, even if you haven't got any animals. Just
thank you.
You get to go see some beautiful dogs.
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you so much, Paige, for coming on the show, chatting, and obviously your family. So, you know, I'll see you around outside the podcast. But yeah, just thank you so much for coming in and obviously for all of your advice when we've been, you know, raising Willow and all that kind of jazz and all the advice and help since then. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you.
You don't want to say anything.
Oh, bye.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, my friends, make sure you follow Buddy Pet on all the social media places. Tell them that you listen to the podcast. I'm sure that Paige and Charlotte would hugely appreciate it. And wish them the best of luck in the Animal Star Awards as well.
So I want to note here, if you've not tuned into Genuine Chits Chat before, welcome, hello there. Please tune into episode 170, because if you're a big fan of dogs, which I assume you are from listening to this episode, then you can listen to myself and Megan talk with our friend Dave all about dogs. This was just after we got Willow, and so we speak about the experience in having a puppy and things like that. It was released in August 2022, so as of recording this, it was about a year and a half ago, thereabouts, a little bit more than that, and we've had Willow for almost 2 years now. So it works quite well with this podcast. And it just, if you want to hear more about dogs, that's a perfect place to go. But what have we got coming up on Genuine Chits Chat? Well, I've got an episode of Clone Wars Conversations recorded. I believe it's Season 3, Part 1 that I've got in the bag that I'll be releasing very soon. I've also got a conversation with Mike Chen. Now, Mike Chen wrote the Star Wars book Brotherhood, and he also wrote two short stories, one in each of the Certain Point of View novels, one for The Empire Strikes Back and one for Return of the Jedi. He's also written Vampire Weekend, Quantum Love Story. He's written loads of books. I had an absolutely fantastic conversation with him about books and Star Wars and also his love of music. So that's really, really cool. I haven't decided which I'm going to release next week, because I know it's May the 4th next week, so it's Star Wars Day, and that's on the Saturday. So I may release the Mike Chen one, or I may release the Clone Wars ones, I don't know. Whichever one I release, I'll probably release the other conversation the following week. And then next week, I've got a couple of fun things. So I've got a recording on a new series I'm doing with Ben of Star Wars Timeline. So that'll be on his YouTube channel and things, and I'll have a playlist on my YouTube channel as well, so you can view those. It's always fun to talk about Ben. We have completely opposing Star Wars opinions, but we're both very civil about it, and I really like talking to him about that kind of stuff. Then I've got another Clone Wars Conversations recording due as well, so very excited for that. So that'll be Season 3, Part 2. And then I've also got a conversation recording with someone who has a very interesting mental affliction, shall we say. It's not like any other conversation I've had on this show. It's going to be recorded next week, so once I've got that in the bag, I'll be able to talk to yourselves a little bit more about it, but I'm very, very excited to have that conversation. But yeah, that's kind of what's in the pipeline at the moment. If you haven't tuned into the previous episode of Genuine Chit Chat, go do that, because myself and Megan have launched our own show. It's called Monthly M&M, Monthly Megan and Mike, Monthly Mike and Megan, however you want to put it. It's where myself and Megan talk about a specific topic for at least 30 minutes. Of the two episodes we've recorded so far, we've gone around 40 minutes. So it's not just 30 minutes, but those topics are submitted by you, the lovely listeners. Now, the fun part about this is also Patreon supporters get every episode of M&M Monthly 1 month early. So when the hair episode dropped on this feed, everyone on Patreon got access to the pantomime episode, which is, we talk about pantomimes and stuff, but primarily Megan talks about her experience being in a pantomime, being in a musical theatrical production for the first time. So really, really cool stuff then. And then we've already had 5 or 6 submissions from Patreon supporters for the next kind of topics that we can discuss in the following episode, and we'll go from there. But please support on Patreon if you'd like to get early access to those episodes, as well as over 200 episodes of Afterthoughts that you can't hear anywhere else, which are primarily myself and Megan reviewing movies and TV shows and stuff like that. We also do a few longer episodes about like road trips and things like that too. So you get early access to Monthly M&M and exclusive access to over 200 episodes of Afterthoughts. You get one episode of Afterthoughts every week as well. And there's also a few other bonuses and goodies and things over there on Patreon. But if you only give £1 a month, you get immediate access to all of the bonus audio content. So no matter how much you can give, you still get access to almost everything you could ever want. So please consider going to patreon.com/genuinechitchat. Or if you can't support the show financially, then please share on social media, tell your friends about it, tune into Monthly M&M and leave a comment, leave some topics and stuff like that. Leave reviews, that's really, really handy. Ratings on Spotify is great, Apple reviews, and also on Audible, things like that. Please leave reviews wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really, really helps the show out. But friends, I think that's going to be enough from me here at the end. I've got a few other bits and things in the pipeline, but I'll tell you about those when we get there. But thank you so much for listening. As always, my friends, follow me on social media at Genuine Chit Chat. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're listening on YouTube, please like and subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes. And I'll speak to all of you lovely people next week with a Star Wars themed episode.
You have just experienced host, creator, everything else of Genuine Chit Chat, and also the host and creator of Star Wars Comics and Canon, found on the Comics in Motion podcast, Mike Burton.